takes place. And that it's explained that there are three modes of material nature, which is one of the big topics of this book. Actually, in this book, it's explained, sometimes it's said that five different shoots are explained. One, who we are, the who God is, of course, what is our relationship with Him. And then it's described what is this material energy or the place where we are at. It is described what is the nature of time and what is the nature of activity, of different activities. So here Krishna speaks a little bit about the nature of this place, and he says that in this place everything is controlled by these three modes. And these three modes of nature are called goodness, called as goodness, passion, and ignorance. And later on, there will be, so to say, a whole chapter dedicated to these modes, and Krishna will explain them in greater detail. And for example, we can go there, Krishna is saying that, Krishna is explaining a little bit these modes. He says, O son of Bharata, the mode of goodness conditions one to happiness, passion conditions one to fruitive action, and ignorance covering one's knowledge binds one to madness. And further on, Krishna explains different activities in terms of how people are attached to different modes of nature. And here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is speaking how according to these modes, one gets a material body and material consciousness. And what is he is saying? That every living entity has a particular type of body and a particular type of psychological and biological activities accordingly. And then he speaks about if one is in pure modes, that then he is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, or in other words, he is in these categories explained as let's say, you have different classes of men. So you always have, in every society, you have people who are workers, you have people who are doing agriculture and taking care of the facilities, you have people who are protectors, the kings and rulers, and also you have the people who you may call intelligentsia and also spiritual leaders. So here are used Sanskrit names for all these different categories, and it's explained how they are getting all of these qualities according to the modes of material nature. What Srila Prabhupada points out is that regardless of what identity we have now, regardless of what identity we have now, this identity is temporary. And that we shouldn't basically take this temporary identity so seriously, that we should take our spiritual identity more seriously. Because the problem is not so much that somehow or other we are in the material world and we have our own likes and dislikes, which are the product of our engagement previously with the material nature, and now we have a result. We have this body, we have dislikes and likes. We're attached to certain things and we don't like certain things. For example, some people they're very much attached to being materially happy, but some other people they're actually not. I know some people who are very attached to to being constantly in some way of suffering, and it may sound a little strange, but actually we see that sometimes people, they have a chance to improve themselves in life, but they gravitate to going back to the old circumstances in which they suffer. And this may sound bewildering, but it's explained that people are conditioned to different modes. So for example, someone likes passion and he gets opportunity to be in the mode of goodness, he won't necessarily take that opportunity. He may stay in the mode of passion because it's closer to home. So in that way, or for example, one may be an artist and one may be attached to what one is doing, and one may get unlimited number of births in one particular mode. Just because of, like these modes, let's say you have three essential colors, and with these colors you can get any different shade of color. So you have, basically, you can always boil it down to these three things. But then everybody has a particular shade, and everybody thinks, so this is very, very special. Like my character, my mind, my activities, the things that I want in life are very, very special, but as long as they're material, they're definitely just the products of mixing of these three colors. And what is explained is that these material desires will never satisfy the spirit soul because of one's nature, so we think that our, so to say, situation in material world is very special, but in the scriptures it's explained that we should take more seriously our spiritual nature, because as Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, there are two different so to say natures, like living entities in material world who are we call them living entities because there are two kinds of things. There are things that are deprived of life, like for example stone, the marble floor, you know, if you hit it nothing happens, and there are living entities who are endowed with spiritual sparkle and they're always sensitive. So so the living entities are so for the living entities in material world, as it was explained, the spirit soul is the eternal particle or the moving element in all the living entities, and the bodies are changing. So these bodies create, so it's explained that there are two different natures. One is the nature that is inherent and that is always there, and that's why it's called primary nature, and this is the spiritual nature of the living entity. There is a secondary nature which is called sometimes incidental or conditioned nature, and this is the nature that living entities has in connection with material modes, material situations and people who are and the things that are related to material world. And it's explained that these material modes are constantly changing. So as they're constantly changing, they're constantly basically pushing the living entities into suffering, because everybody, it's explained that this in the spiritual nature everything is eternal, everything is blissful, and everything is full of knowledge, and in the material nature everything is deprived of these qualities. Everything is temporary, everything has a beginning and an end. Everything is to some extent ignorant or deprived of knowledge, and everything is causing suffering due to this too, because we're always looking for eternal happiness. We need to look at the proper place. And Krishna, what Krishna is saying in this verse, he's saying that bewildered by these three modes, bewildered by things that are happening here, the living entities forget about me. They don't see me because I am not within this scope. I am beyond the three modes. And it's explained that Krishna, he is Sarva Shaktiman. He's the one whose all these energies are his, so he cannot be controlled by these energies because he is the source of all these energies. So there is only one way in which the living entity can so to say cross beyond this material ocean and get to know about the spiritual realm, because Krishna says, I am for them, they do not know me, I am above the mode and inexhaustible, and that is by hearing from persons who know about the spiritual nature. And that is the role of scriptures and of saintly persons. The idea is that they are there to inform us about the spiritual nature. And as well, Srila Prabhupada is saying that everyone in this world is to some is engaged and bewildered by this mode. So one may ask a question that may sound a little bit depressing, but in there the question is, then how do we get out of this? If everyone in this world is bewildered by material modes, then how do we get out of this? And it's explained that the devotees of the Lord, or the people who are successful on the spiritual path, they have the key, and we have to hear from them. So it's explained that there are persons who know about God, persons Bhagavata, and there are books that speak about him. So it's explained in scripture that one who wants to progress on the path of enlightenment has to take shelter of the boat. And by attaching oneself in devotional service, by practicing devotional service, one will gain attachment to the Lord, and the modes will loosen the grip It's like if you have a master, he can always command the servant to let go or to stop doing some activity. So it's explained that this material nature is a servant of the Supreme Lord, and he can always, as one surrenders, he can always he's the only one who can, in other words, liberate us, because in the next verse it will be explained that these modes, they're like ropes. Actually, one in the Sanskrit, the word is guna, and guna means a rope. So it's explained that if one is tied by these modes to one's different material desires, which drive him from one body to another, there is no way that one can be liberated unless someone from outside comes and liberates one. So it's explained that the spiritual teachers are those who do that. And actually, in the first verse here, there was given a text from another scripture that explains how this purification and liberation takes place. And it's famous verse, starting with Shrimantam Svakata Krishna, hearing about Krishna. And it says, I'll read it to you. It says, to hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures, or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita, is itself righteous activity. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best-wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, which we were speaking previously about. And thus, material lust and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. Thus, Bhakti Yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of Samshayam Samagram, understanding of the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead. So, as it is explained in this verse, and as later Srila Prabhupada explains, simply by hearing from people who have developed spiritual desire and who are not so much attached to the material desire, we will develop the same. So this is the key of coming out of the so to say, like a magic circle that is created by the modes, is taking shelter of the devotees and hearing about the Supreme Lord. So thank you very much. If there is any questions. So for example, if you say teacher, when you say teacher, do you think only men? Well, the thing is that all of these temporary designations are ordained by qualities that one has, both that one has and that one can develop or display. So qualities can take shelter of a living entity in body of a man or body of a woman, regardlessly. So it's explained, if one has a tendency to protect others, if one is energetical, and there are qualities that each one of these categories should display. So these qualities can be displayed in any way. And externally, man kshatriya will behave differently. And like you have a king and a queen, they're both kshatriyas. Queen will also be involved, but she will engage her propensities in a different way. But it's not that she will be something from another planet. Basically, as there are three modes, there are also basic propensities in people, and everything can be boiled down to this. And if it's not this, then it must be spiritual, it must be transcendental. So So also all the ladies, and even, I mean, you'll see even the lower species have their qualities, what to speak about people in the human body, I mean, you know, humans. They definitely, so the ladies are included everywhere. It's just a matter of how it's externally displayed. The king will rule the kingdom and the queen will rule the palace. She will rule all the servants. She will traditionally take care of all the finances. You know, she will manage, but she will manage differently. And she'll also often manage the king as well. So it's like she displays her, in example of Kshatriya that you gave, she will display her controlling power in a different way. Because if one is with these qualities, then there will be a tendency to control. What? Well, depends. When you say Brahmana, do you think a person who has qualities of a Brahmana or a person who is engaged ritualistically in a temple as a Brahmana? Because these are two different things. And even that is partially in the history of India. You have different periods. So you have what you're speaking is generally considered from the period of Dharma Shastras onwards. But before that, for example, in a traditional Vedic sacrifice, you have to have both man and woman. Otherwise, you can't do it. So many Brahmana priests married just in order to have a Brahmana lady together with them to do a yagya. That's one thing. But the other thing is that again, the engagement will be different. Because Brahmana doesn't necessarily mean only person who is pouring the ghee in the yagya. Brahmana means, you know, someone who is dedicated to cleanliness, to truthfulness, to austerity, to educating others in spiritual science. That's a Brahmana. So that is not, it's not limited to a person in you know, it's not sex oriented basically. You know, you can have a lady, she's educating also. And not only in a modern environment, also in traditional environment you'll have it. But it will just be placed in a little bit different style. Because the living entities always have their qualities, they have to exhibit them. If they don't exhibit them, it's like sometimes they say, if you have a Brahman and you take away the brahminical engagement from that person, that is practically sinful, that it's worse than killing that person. It's worse taking that off than killing that person, because that's his nature, you know, you're tying hands up. So this secondary nature is important, but we should use our intelligence how to harmonize the secondary or the temporary nature that we have. We cannot ignore it, but we should use our intelligence how we can harmonize it and use it in service of Krishna, so we get both materially benefited and spiritually benefited. That's the ideal combination, if it's possible. Okay, if there is not anything else, then Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.